is in Volhynia, so those of you who we started this day in Podolia, and now we're in Volhynia. We're moving north, in other words, into the northern part.
Of I need to switch something on that mic. Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was saying that we're going to reach Berdichev, and we will meet with Rosa Berdichev. Martin was telling you about earlier. Breyer, and he will fill us in on the details of contemporary Jewish life in Berdichev. Jews were already in Berdichev as early as the 16th century, but when I say Jews, I mean two or three Jews. And Jewish life in Berdichev really didn't begin to develop until 1721. By 1765, which is more or less the time of Rav Levi Yitzchok and Berdichev, we'll talk about it momentarily, there were 1,220 Jews in Berdichev. 1,220 Jews in Berdichev out of a total of 1,541. So Berdichev was overwhelmingly Jewish and remained that way for most of its history. It was actually known as Yerushalayim of Olam, Berdichev, as Vilna was known as Yerushalayim the Litvin.
What's Volhyn, Shnei?
Volhyn is Volhynia. Volhynia and Podolia are two great districts where Hasidism began, grew, developed, and eventually would take over the world.
In Ukraine?
So, in Ukraine. Both are in Ukraine, Volhynia and Podolia. We say we began today in Podolia, we're now in Volhynia. In Sfarim, you'll always see listed as two great districts, Podolia and Volhyn. So now we're in Volhyn. Under Levi Yitzchok and Berdichev, Berdichev would become mostly a Hasidic town. Many Jews came to Berdichev. It became a major commercial center for Jews, largely trade or business, but many other kinds of manufactured goods, including textiles, cloth. So by the 19th century, Berdichev was a major center of the cloth trade, and Jews were primarily responsible for those businesses and those factories. In 1897, there were 41,000 Jews living in Berdichev, and they were 80% of the total population.
I don't know if it's open.
In its heyday, at the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century, Berdichev had Yiddish newspapers. Berdichev had famous chazanim. And there were over 80 shuls and bate medrash in Berdichev. Over 80 shuls and bate medrash in Berdichev. All that, of course, would come to an end in 1941, when the Nazis entered Berdichev as well. There were some 30,000 Jews at the time in Berdichev, and the entire Jewish community of Berdichev was liquidated by the Nazis. The community was reconstituted after World War II, and that history we'll hear about is what life was like under the communist regime and what has happened since 1989. That we'll learn from Rabbi Breyer. Levi Yitzchok of Berdichev, the most famous name connected with Berdichev without question, was born in 1740 and died in 1810. He was born in Misnagid. He converted to Hasidus, as almost everyone did in the 18th century. He was an Ely. He was known as the Ely of Yaroslav. He was born somewhere near Pshemyshl, lived in Yaroslav. As I said, he was known as the Ely of Yaroslav. And then as a teenager, he met, came under the influence of two great Hasidic leaders. One was Shmuel Shmelke Horowitz, brother of the Haflah of Rav Pinchas Horowitz. Both of them came under the influence of Hasidus. Shmuel Shmelke was famous for becoming chief rabbi of Nikolsburg, which is the capital city of Moravia. Today called what? Nikolsburg today is called Nikolov. And what country is Nikolov?
Czech.
Used to be Czechoslovakia.
Oh,
used to be Czechoslovakia. Now I believe it's the Czech Republic.
Czech, yes.
He came under the influence of Shmuel Shmelke, And the second person that he came under the influence of, and that was crucial, was the Magid of Mezrich. So the Yitzchak of Adichie was one of a long list. We already mentioned the Balatanya. Long list of great founders of Hasidic dynasties, great Hasidic rebbes, all of whom were the Talmidim of the Magid of Mezrich, so who was the contemporary and successor of the Baal Shem Tov. And it's almost incredible if one lists the Talmidim of the Magid of Mezrich, it's incredible how one man, in this particular case, the Magid of Mezrich, influenced so many different Jews. We already mentioned previously Reb Pinchas Peretz, and the list goes on and on. The Noam Elimelech, the Kozak of Lublin, all these great Gedolim and Gaonim were Talmidim of the Magid of Mezrich. Levi Yitzchak was at the forefront of the battle to defend Hasidus against Misnagdus. He was involved in public debates, and he defended Hasidus with great success. Served as rabbi in a variety of towns, ultimately made his way to Berdichev, where he would thrive, and it was in Dichev that he wrote his famous sefer, Kedushas HaLevi Al HaTorah. He's one of the most popular of all Hasidic rebbes, because he's most remembered, as you can tell from the story in part of the Nachman, as being a Melech Yosher, as being the Melech Yosher, a warrior for the defense, if you like, of Jews, all Jews, whether observant or not observant. So I just want to tell over a few of my favorite stories of the Bedichiva, just to give you a sense of what I mean, that the Bedichiva was known as being a Melech Yosher. The minig of Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev, where you know he could have a sukkos, lahazmin or sukkoso, dafka and loshim shutim. When he came home from shul, a little sukkos, he would invite scragging looking Jews, the poorest Jews, not the tamidim of Tlamim. He looked for those that wouldn't be invited elsewhere. Dafka and loshim shutim, the chusei darga, the yoser, the lowest station. Kashanisha, lepesha, min hagoze, and he was asked, why do you only invite these? Well, this is meaning the focus entirely on these Jews. His fear of Yom already explained. Lots of Lodo, Sherehovos, Chol HaTzadikim, Lechasidim, Yoshim, Mesukos, Mesukas, Oro, Shelov Yosan. The future world, the Ovos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all the great Gedolim, all the Tzadikim, will be sitting in the Sukkah made of Lev Yosan. Yerche Gam Ani Lichanes. I will also want to enter the sukkah and sit with all these great avos and rabbanim. Shomri apesach vaday yakruosi v'yomru, yakruosi v'yomru. And surely the guards at the door, at the gate, won't let me in. They'll say, eich adam shekamoscha meyez lidochek ben tzadikim. They'll say, you, Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, where do you have the chutzpah to try to enter here and sit together with Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and all the great gaonim of the previous generations? I'll be able to say, Gam Anochi Hichnasti L'Sukosi Anoshim Shutim. I always invited the Anoshim Shutim into my sukkah. You can invite me into your sukkah. We're coming soon to the Yom Noraim. So two stories, famous stories about Rabbi Levi Yitzchak in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Of course, it was especially on Seriously made Shuva, and on Yom Kippur, the Levi Yitzchak served as the lawyer in defense of the Jewish people and would recite various tefillos defending the Jewish people on the Day of Judgment. One mitzvah Yom Kippur, the Berdichev called over a tailor and asked him to come to his house. Then he asked the tailor, tell me what you said in davening on Yom Kippur. How did you defend yourself? How did you pray on behalf of the Jewish people? The tailor told the Berdichev as follows. I prayed to God and I said as follows. God, you wish me to repent for all my sins, but God, I have only committed minor offenses. I sometimes kept some of the leftover cloth from a suit that I made. There are occasions when I perhaps ate in a non-Jewish home. And there are even occasions when I worked in my own little shop, perhaps without washing my hands beforehand. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, You've committed grievous sins. There are mothers who've lost their children. So I'll tell you what, God. I'll make a deal with you. You forgive me, God, and I'll forgive you. And the Ditchever said to the tailor when he heard this story, why did you let God off so easily? You should have forced God to bring the Geula Shleima. One of my favorite stories is by the Yitzchak of Adichev, and one Yom Kippur recited the following prayer. Ribono Shalom, our fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and our forefathers, when they said Al Chait on Yom Kippur, they said Leitzonus, they said Al Chait, Shechatosi, etc. Like Yitzchak said, all our forefathers, this is Leitzonus. They didn't commit any of these sins. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unfortunately, in this generation, when we say Al Chait, it's MS. When we say Al Chait, it's true. May you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take into account our merit, our zchus, that we speak the truth. And may you grant us a ksiva v'chasim v'tov.
Adam because the people, less people over here. The look of the little chizikman gives us is the voice, what came out from here. We send our voice to Israel, to England, to America, to Monsi. We have a Monsi, we have five girls, four already made it. And we're now planning to send down another two to Monsi, one to Israel, and boys to England, where I see it's good for the children. It's a lot of money in the stand to send the tickets for them, and plus follow up, we help them to make it, to get married. And Nachman mentioned about the shechita, what we're doing. It's a thing that gives me a lot of chizik because the people, they're all coming from families, and later they didn't have the kosher. Now I help them, for every chicken I give $1, for every turkey I give $5, because I want them to buy more in a time, they share for longer. And Rosh Hashanah, I'm busy with building mikvahs. I just built now in Mezbish, and maybe I'll start Mitzvah, and Gadish, the one that I should build, by Balatanya also. But this mikvah is for a lot of people over here, around, states around, they come, Rosh Hashanah, a lot of using it. And to keep up the shul, it's a lot of money, and we have a kitchen over here. Of course, this year, we have a kitchen about 2 years already. We're serving 50 people 3 times a week. A part of it's Meals on Wheels, and a part of the people is coming over here. We don't have no money. It's also a very good thing. They're very happy for it. We get good food over there, and kosher food is the main thing. Now, I'm planning to send down a few children, but I told before, but I have to. It's a big expense, but I need to have it, because the whole work is for this, so they should go out, and they stay here. It's no taxes for them. So, everyone wants to have a chaylik, how much you could. But I'm asking, please, they shouldn't give it to them. The people see it, they have experience, and I have problems with them. They ask me, or they come down, or they'll go to the boss. Thank you very much.
Okay. If you...
Okay. Why do the people from Memphis, go to Kiev to this place? Why don't they come here?
Because I only make this for the local people, who bring the chicken. We don't make kosher over here.
Why,
the Vassar Shepherds, the whole Sakis, everybody had an old shul. This shul is about 200 years. The Shepherds like Yitzchak used to come over here, but not every time. He had their own shul. After the war, it was without the roof. Over here is written by the Umar, a very important thing. You know, it's a thing, they sing it a little bit different than this, but over here, it's like written, that's more than, probably more than 100 years. It's written like this. Udim Doyek Ali Bedumma. Somebody, a man is worries if he lost money. But the ain't a doyek alibi duma. He's not worried if he lost days. Duma poison, money comes back, and yuma vainim kozim days doesn't come back. And the taste they think it duma vainim ozren. But here's written duma poison. Money is good. It's very interesting. I never saw it in a umut, not from before. This is the old thing of it. Written with a pencil, maybe 100 years already.
How many children are you shooting
at? How? Now? Now we have about 10. It's not a big, it's a small town. Yes, but they used to have a lot, but it's sent out. So. The joint only helps with the means and means. With this program. Not the...
Not any
religious... No.
This program needs to help. Okay, Rabbi, I'm going to ask the Rabbi to go downstairs. Anyone want to meet with him?
A lot of places that you can speak with
him? A lot of them. Yeah, a lot of them. They come from the downstairs.
Okay, Rabbi, let's go back for the bus.
Safe along. Yaakov Yosef Akoin of Polonia says, I heard from my Rebbe, meaning the Baal Shem Tov, and 249 times that phrase is repeated in the Sefer. So anybody here who's really interested in hearing firsthand what the Baal Shem Tov said, you can certainly rely on his Talmud Lubuk that told us Yaakov Yosef. The Sefer was published in Mezhebezh and Koretz. 1781, and as soon as it was published, it was burned in Vilna, in Krakow, and in Brody. So you can have some sense of how serious of a focus there was at that time in the Hasidim and the Mishnah. today it's one of the great classics of rabbinic literature, reprinted all the time in Eretz Yisrael and in New York, available in your local farm store.
Tell us, Yaakov.
He told us Yaakov Yosef. He wrote as follows about the told us Yaakov Yosef, one of his Haskamas. Sefer told us Yaakov Yosef, Shaladoni of Iskeni, Agona Kodosh, Ir Vikadish, Ben Yaakov Yosef, Akon Yofanoa. So he wrote that the told us Yaakov Yosef was an Elta Zayd of his. He was an Ir Vikadish. That's actually the language he's quoting from the Chidah. Chidah writes in Sefer Shemar Dolem, he was an angel and a holy person. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Yifonoz Etzel, Yodua, Mufursam, Shehu Rosh, Verishon, Shehepit, Tufirsein, Ba'olam Torah HaChasidus. He was the first person to publicize Hasidic teaching in print. Shomoro Harabo, of course it was a teaching of his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, Shakodo Shomar Lo, Rabbeinu HaBaal Shem Tov, Zechet Tzadik L'Rov. Mufursam Ma'od, Godel Ha'ava, Sherabo Avaso, and the Shlomo Zalman Orbach adds, everybody knows how dear and how beloved Teldus Yaakov Yosef was in the eyes of the Baal Shem Tov. Imro Yedua, and his famous saying, in Yisrael, Ohav es Yosef, Yikol Echo. Yisrael, namely the Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, loved Yosef from all the brothers. Nasan Lehodo Alav. From his ode, his glory, he gave it to his Talmud, the Talmud Yaakov Yosef. And Shepetavka is where Pinchas Koretz is buried, Pinchas of Koretz. Remind you, Pinchas of Koretz was born in 1726, died in 1791. Knew the Besh personally, he was the one who met the Besh three times. And he was the person who was characterized as a Mida of MS. Of course, he was called Rapinchus of Koretz because he lived most of his life in Koretz. At the end of the life, he left Koretz and was on his way to Eretz Yisrael, and he died in Shepetavka, suddenly. So he's buried in Shepetavka, which we just passed on around. Magid was born in 1704, died in 1772. Given the fact that the Baal Shem Tov was born in 1700 and died in 1760, so you can see essentially they're really contemporaries. Dover was born in Volin, Lithuania, where we are now. He was learned by some of the greatest Gaonim of that period. And as a youngster, he went to the yeshiva, and he learned under the Pnei Yehoshua, the Talmud of the Pnei Yehoshua. Pnei Yehoshua is Rabbi Yaakov Yehoshua of Frankfurt on Main. Later, he was chief rabbi of Frankfurt on Main, and the Pnei Yehoshua in his early years was chief rabbi of Lvov. And one of the greatest leaders of Hasidus, namely the Magid of Mezrich, Dober, went to learn the Pia of the Pnei Yehoshua. Yeshua was born in 1680 and died in 1756. Those of you who were on the first trip, visited his kever in Frankfurt am Main. Anyway, Reb Dover came under the influence of the Baal Shem Tov later in life. He actually came to the Baal Shem Tov because he was physically sick. And we know, of course, that Baal Shem Tov, in the first instance, the word Baal Shem Tov refers to a healer, somebody who writes Kameis. Not just anybody who writes Kameis, but somebody who's successful in writing Kameis. Because when he writes the Kameis, and the Kameis are used, the person is healed. And there were five or six people at the end of the 17th and beginning of the 18th century who had the name Baal Shem Tov. It was a very famous Baal Shem by the name of Yoel Baal Shem Tov, who was older than the Baal Shem Tov. But so he came to the Baal Shem Tov, and one of the methods by which the Baal Shem Tov made a living was traveling around in these parts, in Podolia and Volhynia, and writing shemos and healing people. So he was physically sick and he came to the Baal Shem Tov, and as the Magid would say, he came to the Baal Shem Tov to be healed physically and he was healed spiritually.
Eventually, the Maggid would be the successor of the Baal Shem Tov when the Baal Shem Tov died in 1760. And the greatest of the Hasidic Talmidim all came to the Maggid to learn. Among them, Reb Zev Wolf of Zhytomyr. Zhytomyr is not at all far from where we are now. Baal HaTanya, we already mentioned, was a Talmud of the Maggid. The Hafloa, Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, also Chief Rabbi of Frankfurt am Main. The Reverend of Shmelka, we mentioned, of Nikolsburg, the Hafloa's brother. Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, Lucius Halevi, we were just there earlier today. The Koshnitza Maggid, those of you who are on the first trip will know that Reb Yisrael, the Maggid of Koshnitz, is also a Talmud of the Maggid. It is of Reb Dober. Reb Nachum Mendel of Vitebsk was a Talmud of his. Reb Yelamelech of Luzhensk was a Talmud of his. The Chozim ben Blin was a Talmud of his. Reb Nachum of Chernobyl was a Talmud of his. The Rebbe Reb Zusha, the brother of the Noam Elimelech, Reb Meilech of Luzhensk, was a Talmud of his. And we will now be at the kever of Reb Zusha as well as at the kever of the Mezritch Maggid. It was in Mezritch. Mezritch is in Volhynia. It was in Mezritch where he held court. And it was the Maggid of Mezritch that established the Hasidic Shahoif. A court, many of them came from all over. They spent Shabbos and Yom Tov with the Rebbe. This was established by the Maggid himself. It's usually said that if the Baal Shem Tov was the Neshama of Hasidus, the Maggid was the Guf of Hasidus. That is, he took the lofty teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and he brought them down from heaven to earth, and he created the institutions that would allow Hasidus to thrive. Remember, it was the Maggid of Mezritch who advised the Baal HaTanya and appointed the Baal HaTanya to prepare Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which indeed paved the way for the spread of Hasidus in non-Hasidic circles as well. Now, I want to read to you a document that's not well known that I brought with me, an eyewitness account of what it was like to be by the Maggid of Mezritch. And the eyewitness account doesn't come from a chassid, but it comes from somebody who strayed far away from Judaism, but as a young man, learned about Hasidus and wanted to try it out for himself and see what it's like. And he went to Mezritch to meet Maggid of Mezritch. This man's name was Solomon Maimon, one of the great philosophers of the 18th century, who left Poland, went to Berlin, became a maskil in Berlin. He wrote an autobiography, an incredible document, which probably a mitzvah to read, because if you want to know what life was like in Poland in the 18th century, you should read Solomon Maimon's autobiography. If we have time later, perhaps, on our way back, I'll read to you a few more interesting sections about what life, Jewish life, was like in Poland in the 18th century. In any event, now I just want to focus on the section that deals with the Maggid of Mezritch. The reason this has special nemonus is because this is what's called Mesiach Fitumo. This is not somebody who's trying to say the praises of a Rebbe. He will say it anyway, but far, far from Solomon Maimon, he couldn't care less at a later stage in his life when he wrote this, he published it, what people thought the one way or the other about these matters. So here we have an eyewitness account, and as I say, Mesiach Fitumo, this is testimony without a cause. He's not trying to prove or disprove anything. He writes as follows, and now I'm just quoting. The fact is that the sect spread so rapidly, meaning Hasidus, that the new doctrine met with such applause among the majority of the nation, this can easily be explained. I could not help being astonished at the exquisite refinement these thoughts. I'm skipping a little bit in the interest of time. Essentially what happens is he understands and explains why Hasidus spread, and indeed he has his own explanations, but some of them parallel some of the things that I said earlier about Sabbateanism and so on, and about the difficulties that Jews went through at the end of the 17th century and the early part of the 18th century. And then he finally goes and he meets a chassid, not a rebbe, but a chassid, and he asks the chassid to tell him some Torah from the rebbe, including from the Maggid of Mezritch, and he preserves the Torah that he heard from the Maggid in this volume. Some of that Torah is only preserved here. It's beautiful. But now he heard from a chassid, so he got so excited
By what he heard, he decided he would go visit Meserich and see the Rebbe with his own eyes. I could not help being astonished at the exquisite refinement of these thoughts, as what he heard from the Klosset, the Talmud, charmed with the ingenious exegesis by which they were supported. My imagination was strained to the highest pitch by these descriptions, and consequently I wish nothing so much as the pleasure of becoming a member of this honorable society. Maimon wanted to become a Klosset. I resolved, therefore, to undertake a journey, and in the diary it says, to M. M is Meserich, where the superior, B, resided. The Rebbe, Reber, resided. I waited with the greatest impatience for the close of my period of service, which lasted still for some weeks. As soon as this came to an end, instead of going home, which was only 2 miles away from where I worked, I started at once on my pilgrimage. The journey extended over some weeks, just to get from one part of Poland to Meserich. At last, I arrived at Meserich. And after having rested for my journey, I went to the house of the superior, and then went to the Rebbe, under the idea that I could be introduced to him at once. I was told, however, that he would not speak to me at his home at the time, but that I was invited to his table on Shabbos, along with the other strangers who had come to visit him, and that I would then have the happiness of seeing the saintly man face to face, and of hearing the sublimest teachings out of his own mouth. But though this was a public audience, yet on account of the individual references which I would find made to myself, I might regard it as a special interview. I'll stop for a minute and just explain. I could not have yichidus with the Rebbe at the time. I was told that he could come with all the other guests to Shabbos at the table of the Rebbe, sit at the tish of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe speaks at some point. And when he speaks, listen carefully, you'll realize that he's referring specifically to you. And that'll count as if it was yichidus. I continue with the passage. Accordingly, on Shabbos, I went to the solemn meal and found there a large number of respectable men who had met here from various quarters. At length, the great man appeared in his awe-inspiring form, clothed in white satin. So here you see, the Magen of Meserich wore entirely white Shabbos. Even his shoes and snuffbox were white, this being among the Kabbalists the color of grace. He gave to every newcomer his Shalom Aleichem, that is his greeting. We sat down to the table, and during the meal, a solemn silence reigned. After the meal was over, the Rebbe struck up a solemn, inspiring melody, held his hand for some time upon his brow, and then began to call out. And he mentioned the name of every person sitting at the table, the first name, and where he came from, the town he came from, including Solomon Maimon. Solomon Maimon had never met him before. Hadn't revealed his name to anybody at the table. But the Rebbe went around the room and greeted everyone by their first name and by the town they came from, and so on. Every newcomer was thus called by his own name and the name of his residence, which excited no little astonishment. Each recited, as he was called, some verse from the Holy Scriptures. They were told, when the Rebbe mentions your name, you should recite any pasuk you like. Thereupon, the Rebbe began to deliver a sermon, for which the verses recited served as the text. So that although they were disconnected verses taken from different parts of the Holy Scriptures, they were combined with great skill as if they had formed a single whole. What was even more extraordinary, every one of the newcomers believed that he discovered in that part of the sermon where the Rebbe referred to the verse that the newcomer had recited, something that specifically referred to the newcomer's spiritual life. Of course, at this we were greatly astonished. End quote, a reading without changing any of the words, was written by Solomon Maimon, his account of what it was like to be Meserich by the Rebbe Reber.
Wow. That was nice.
Yeah. сказали, там лучше, Сергей, там, Сергей, там лучше, он прав. Спасибо, Сергей.
Там лучше, да.
Там лучше. Где там? Там же второй.
Назад,
да, назад. Ну, хорошо. Да. Спасибо вам.
Oh, you have it all down, all the lectures, then you're going to put it together?
Please don't fall asleep.
Shavoy la Magid Hagoro, Zasal the Omar Rabbi.
Can you hear it in the backfield?
Napsiku Libane.
You want me to put it in with the North Office?
Catch you later.
The Jew came to the Magid Mezrich and he said to the Magid Mezrich, I have no children. I want you to promise me that I'll have children. What do you think? I play the role of God? Pray to Hashem and Hashem will take care of me. On the ish, so the main answer the Magid. I prayed to Hashem for a long time. To no avail. Amarlo Hamagid in Cain. Yoser to shetavakesh mimeni lelamdecho lespalel. So you really want to ask me to do something, ask me to teach you how to daven. Then once you know how to daven, you won't have to come to me anymore. Vayish yotza v'shivron leiv u'bachar. The man left, distraught by this sharp answer of the Magid, and began to cry. Those who were present, it's the very least the Magid could have promised him that he would undertake a prayer on his behalf. The Magid answered, if a man comes to me and trusts in God, but comes to me because he feels that my prayers will reach God and help him in attaining his goal, such people I answer properly and I undertake to do whatever I can on their behalf. But this man, this man thought that I would guarantee that he would have children. He was depending upon me. So I answered him precisely in a way that he would no longer depend on me. He will trust entirely on God. And I am certain that he will have children in the future. God will answer his prayers. It's a very interesting story of the Magid, and I specifically mention this story because we've been visiting graves. It's crucial that you remember that when you visit a grave, you pray to Hashem. Don't pray to the deceased. You pray to Hashem. And since these Kvarim are Makomos Kedoshim, these are holy places, so we pray that the Neshamos of the Tzaddikim buried there will act on our behalf, as each one has a Melech Yosher for us. I'll say a few words about Reb Zushi, the Rebbe Reb Zushi. The Rebbe Reb Zushi was born about 1730, and he died the second day of Shvat in the year 1800. He was born just outside of Tikhin in Poland. He and his brother, Rebbe the Melech of Lizhensk, studied together under Rebbe of Shmelka, or Shmelka of Nikolsburg. In their youth, the two brothers together decided to go into exile, known as Golos. There were They were already in the Golas, but they left their home and traveled from town to town, basically incognito, learning whatever they could, doing tshuva, and so on. There is a mesores that appears in Hasidic literature that says that as they went from village to village and so on, they reached as far as Ashpitzen, which is Auschwitz. The Rebbe of Zusha refused to spend the night there, according to Hasidic story, as I have it in front of me. He said, "I can smell the Jewish body is being burned here. I will not stay here." A few famous words regarding the Rebbe of Zusha. The favorite saying of the Rebbe of Zusha was in the Olam Haba, Losid Lavo, Zusha used to say, "They will not ask me, why weren't you like Moshe Rabbeinu? Why weren't you like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? But Losid Lavo, I will be asked, why weren't you Zusha?" Beautiful story about Reb Zusha. Ishto. Topra Vega de Tzolchaya. Reb Zusha's Rebbetzin had a dress made by a tailor. Shebo Lukachto Sipir Achaya. Shebito Hakala. Emo Vega Mishvilo Lukasa. Came to the tailor, and the tailor told this sad story that he has a daughter that's about to be married, and she has nothing to wear for the wedding. So immediately the Rebbetzin took the dress that she had just ordered, gave it as a gift to the tailor, and he told the tailor, "Give this to your daughter and let her wear this." She then came home and she told the Rebbe of Zusha what she had done. Shalom Sarabenu, the Rebbe of Zusha asked her, "Uskar ma'avoda la'chayet Shilam? Did you pay the tailor for his work?" She answered, "No." She said, "I didn't pay the tailor. Why should I pay him? I gave him the whole suit as a gift. The dress is a gift." Heyachse Yisraim Olah Rabbeinu. Reb Zusha was upset. He turned to her and he said, "How is it possible you did this? He worked a whole week on this dress, and did this work just for you. He didn't work on that dress for his daughter. And he was impatiently, he waited to complete the dress so that he could pay for his work. Why should he lose his money if you gave this suit as a gift to his daughter? Of course, she didn't wait a minute, the Rebbetzin. Of course, Reb Zusha never had a penny in his pocket, so she borrowed the money. She immediately ran to the tailor. She paid the tailor the cost of making the suit that she gave as a gift to the tailor's daughter. Finally, probably the most beautiful story about Reb Zusha. Pambo, Shnei Talmidim Lamagid. Two Talmidim Chachamim once came to the Magid of Mezrich, the Rebbe of Reb Zusha. The Gemara Bracha says, "Shem Shemavorchem Al Aroa, Shem Shemavorchem Al Tova, Kach Mavorchem Al Aroa." Just like you have to make a bracha, praise God for all the wonderful things that happened to you, you also have to make a bracha and praise God for all the terrible things that happened to you. And somebody came to Magid of Mezrich and asked, "How is this possible? How can anybody make both brachas with the same enthusiasm?" Sholchem Amagid Leber Reb Zusha. So Amagid told him, "If you want the answer to that question, go see my disciple, the Rebbe Reb Zusha." So So the two of them went to the Rebbe Zusha, Nichnasu the Beis HaMedrash, and you all know, or many of you know, that the Rebbe Zusha was poor his entire life, wore rags, used to sit in various Batei Medrash, sleep on the floor or on benches and so on. So they came into this dilapidated Beis HaMedrash, Nichnasu the Beis HaMedrash, Mitzahu Yoshev, Mitzgodim Kruim, Uvluyim. They saw him wearing torn and tattered clothes. Yisipru lo Shem, Magiv Sholchem Elov, and they told him that they were sent by the Magiv of Medrash. And he should teach them how is it possible to enthusiastically make a blessing over evil and suffering. Na'anah Rav Zusha, Rebbe Rav Zusha answered, Vadai tos b'yedchem, you must be mistaken. V'lo elai sholach eskem harebi, surely the Magid of Medrash didn't send you to see me. Or how can I explain this to you? Ketzad lucha lahasbil lechem zos. Bol bizman shelo ta'amti me'olam tamo shel ro. I can't answer because I've never experienced in my life anything that was terrible. We spoke about Rapinitas Karutu. We passed through Shepetovka. And about the Midah of Emes, we told the story of his Talmud, the Befoil of Gershat, and of another Talmud, the Rebbe of Shame. So I want to bring to your attention the story that I wanted to say but didn't have time to say in
Sorry.
We saw how Emes was valued in the Hasidic world, and we'll have a sample of how Emes was valued in the Litvish world. An amazing story that recently appeared in print. And this is a story about the Halta of Slavatka, the Nutzvi Finkel, so we'll get a little personal glimpse of who the founder of the Slavatka Yeshiva was and how he taught MS. This is from the autobiography Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, the author of Shalos and Shiva's 3-Day Aish, last Rosh Hashiva of the Hildesheim Rabbinical Seminary. In his last years, he lived in Montreux in Switzerland, where he answered Shalos and Shiva's the world over, and also served in part as a Rosh Hashiva in Montreux. But Weinberg died in 1966. He was a graduate of the Miri Yeshiva and of the Slavatki Yeshiva. He writes as follows. Just as an introduction, when he came to Slavatka to learn, he was an Ely Nifla, and immediately became a favorite, one of the favorites of the Alto Slavatka. And at the time in Alek Sot, the Rav was in Naftali, Amsterdam, the Talmud of Yisrael Salanter. Alek Sot, we were in the cemetery Alek Sot, that is the cemetery today of Kovna. So you're quite aware now that Alek Sot is right near Slavatka. And the Rav of Alek Sot, Naftali, Amsterdam, used to come to the Slavatka Yeshiva, spent a lot of time learning the base of Medrash. So the Alta made a Chavrusa between Naftali Amsterdam, one of the great Talmidim from Yisrael Salanter, and this young Ilui from Pilshivki in Litha, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg. Now I'm reading the words of Rabbi Weinberg. Kamachas sha'alti oso, from Naftali Amsterdam. Vaseisli eitzo skula neged ha'shivcha. I once asked Naftali, who was much, much older than Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, perhaps he'd give me some advice how I can always remember things and never forget things. So Rav Naftali turned to me and he said, Mato Shechea, Sheilani, he asked me, what is it that you forget? Onisi ani Shechea lefomin lispalel mincha. Rechil Yaakov Weinberg was a tremendous maspid, as you might imagine, learned 18 hours a day and more. And when he was deep into learning, he lost all sight of time and where he was. And it happened on occasion that he actually forgot the daven mincha. So he told Rav Foley these exact words, Ani shocheach lefomin lispalel mincha. Rav Weinberg continues, Noatz bi shtei einayim muhos umabato oyo kokach oyom v'omar b'charodo legamri shocheach ato lispalel orak b'tzibur ato shocheach lispalel. So Rav Naftali looked at him with angry and in amazement, angry eyes, and gave him a stare. And frightened him almost to death. And Polly asked him, what do you mean you forget to daven mincha? Do you mean that you forget entirely to daven mincha? Well, what you probably mean is that sometimes you forget to daven mincha, the tzibur, together with the minyan, in Svabodka. Weinberg continues, me rov pachat, my knees were shaking. Me ma boto hachoder, me harti lanos, I was so frightened by your stare at me that I quickly responded, and irak shocheach was fellow betzibur. Well, yes, it says, I just forget on occasion to daven with a minyan. Nirgaksa, so he calmed down a bit, v'amar, and he said, it is Rav Poli Amsterdam, sha'abei datzimachol is fellow tamid v'yeshiva. You have to force yourself and undertake from now on never to daven anywhere except in the yeshiva. So obviously he will now daven three times a day with a minyan. Bosi b'hisvadesi b'fnei asaba alka. So this young boy, Yehiel Yaakov Weinberg, this young Eli, went over to the Mashiach, the altar of Slabotki. His conscience was bothering him. He went over to the altar and he told the altar Nebuch that he had lied to Rav Naftali Amsterdam. He's right to that. And he indicated to Rav Naftali that he had forgotten to daven Betzibur when in fact he had forgotten to daven at all. Go Arvi Asavo, the Altami Slabotka got angry at Yehiel Yaakov Weinberg. Via Marlene, he said, Shakron, liar, Honesa Dato Shel Odom Gola Vatsadik. Made enough, not only did you lie, but you pulled the wool over the eyes of one of the greatest tzaddikim of this generation, Rav Poli Amsterdam. Leich l'Rav Naftali. Go to the home of Rav Naftali. Behoda al emes. And you have to tell Rav Naftali the truth. Sirafti b'chol oz. Yehiel Yaakov Weinberg says, he refused. Mirof pachat. He couldn't do it. Yehiel Yaakov Weinberg could not force himself to go admit his error before Rav Naftali Amsterdam, because he knew exactly what kind of stare, what kind of look he would get from Naftali when he told him the truth. Well, the Saba goes our lie, but what could I do? The Alta Slabotka ordered me to go to Rav Naftali. Shebeimlo atzayeslo osur li lidros al biftan besa. Yalta said that if I refuse to listen to him and to go to the home of Rav Naftali and admit my error, never again can I enter the home of the Alta Slabotka. Ibalti is gzeroso. I had no choice, as Rav Yehiel Yaakov Weinberg, but to accept gzero. Venichnati bifnei asaba. I humbled myself before the Alt of Slabotka, to Alachti the Natali Amsterdam, Kichli Mole Busha, my head hanging low. I started walking to Natali Amsterdam's house. Alicha ad HaKloiz Shal Natali, to walk from the Slabotki Yeshiva till the Kloiz where Natali was learning at that time, Boisa Arucha, Malach Shal Shos, with several hours walk. This must have been the Kloiz in Alexot. B'derech b'shulegas, and it was the winter and heavy snow. Terech igati somuch l'pesach beisom. Just before I got near the door of the house of Naftali, Hesigani talmud mi'yeshiva, of Yeshiva Bachar, was running through the snow. Yeshiva Bachar from Slabotka. And he reached the Rabbi Yehiel Yaakov Weinberg, u'b'thiv b'koshoso shel asaba she'achzor miyad. He told me that the Alter of Slabotka wants you to immediately come back see the Alta. Amarti lo, so I told the Yeshiva Bachar, Hamtein Ache Kones, wait, I'm already here. I have to go in and see Rav Naftali Amsterdam. Varigati Avalom. Amarli, the Bachar said, lo, Asaba Bike Shetechef Umiyad Tachzor. My orders are, I had to find you immediately, and the moment I saw you, to bring you back to the Alta Mesmabot. Kiyamti es Ritzono Vichazarti. So I listened to the Bachar and I came back. Shabosi el Asaba, Amarli. When I came to the Alta, he said as follows. Lorotisi ligrom lecho boshes panin. Believe me, I didn't want to embarrass you. Rakotisi Linakosko. I wanted to cleanse you of anything that smacks of falsehood. Mikevan Shiraisi Shahisa Bucha de Msiras Nefesh Maleches Azai Daibizos. Once I saw that you made your way through the snow and you were about to go to Rav Naftali to admit the truth, that's enough. That already cleanses you of falsehood. That is the atonement that you needed. My bone rib, Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, Al Yemesayim, and when he used to tell the story to his own bachrim, he used to end the story by saying, Zo hoysa derech hachinuch shel Slabotka. That's how they taught ethics in the Slabotka Yeshiva.